Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence. And thank you for being in this place tonight. We worship you and we adore you because you are the only worthy of all praise. Amen. Well, hello everyone. Good evening. It's good to have you all here. I'm excited and I'm expectant for what God is gonna continue to do tonight. The youth are gonna go downstairs. God is so good. He's so, so, so good. Amen. 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 I want to start reading a scripture and then we're going to pray. I'm going to read it. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Hallelujah. And our bodies have been washed with pure water, which is the word of God. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, our faith, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Father, I pray tonight that you will speak to our hearts. We need your word. We are not over with it. We need your word. We need to be fed every single day. And we need your Holy Spirit in our lives because we cannot make it without it. Thank you, Father, that you are in this place and that you will speak to our hearts. Amen. There's a lot in my heart and in my spirit, and I want to listen from him and know what way to go. Because I feel like he's been changing the message all through since I started preparing. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you ask God to bless you, like, continually? You know, we ask God to bless us. And I was reading in Psalm 1:1. We all know it. And, well, if you want to go there, Psalm 1:1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight," and I'm going to say again, "blessed is the man," because we are talking about that person, "that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So, well, we can get an idea there how to be blessed. But I want to go to another verse that takes us more into how to be blessed, and it's all these are very popular scriptures. We all know them. It's Joshua 1:8. It says, "Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night." Again, it's telling us to meditate on it day and night. "So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do." I love you guys. Thank you for those amen. It encouraged me. And Jeremiah 7:23, if we can go there. That gives us the key, even more in a more clear way. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. It says, "This is what I told them, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well." So, yeah. Psalms is saying that the blessed man will meditate in the word of God day and night, and that everything will go well, and that he shall prosper. So, I mean, that sounds like a blessing, right? That sounds pretty much like being blessed. If you are compared to a tree that is always next to the water, getting fed, and always producing fruit, I mean, what other blessing can we have than that one? And so something that it's been in my heart is that, you know, curse came into this world through disobedience, right? So the opposite is through obedience, we are blessed. We are under the covering. We have the blessing in our lives. But what do we obey? I was thinking, how we need to obey, but what do we obey? Who do we obey? And two things came to me. And first of all, of course, well, and we saw it in those three verses that we read. Read the word of God. You know, it said that to meditate in the word of God and do everything it says, and you're going to be blessed. Sounds pretty simple, right? But that's the key also, not just reading it, but putting it into practice. It's not just enough to read the word and say like, oh man, that was a good word. Thank you, Jesus, for what I read today, and then keep on going and just go through our day without doing anything. James 1:22, if you would like to go there with me, please. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." So what I see here, like every time I read that, it's like, why does he compare it to going to the mirror and then walking out? And it's a glancing. For me, a glance is like you just kind of look and then you just, you know, like, oh, everything is fine. Okay, let's go. No mocos, no, you know. But honestly, in a glance, you can't really tell. You have to, like, really check. But also, I was thinking, like, it's not just about reflecting ourselves in the Word. It's doing it, like, every day. You know, like, going back, because we're going to forget. Like, I don't see myself. I don't look at myself in the mirror one day and then like I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good to go for a week. You know, it's like, no, I mean, like I sleep and then I wake up and my eyes have stuff and my face is shiny. Like, you know, I need to check. So every day, I mean, this is what it's saying. You're going to forget what you look like. You're going to forget what's going on. You need to come back and see yourself and put into practice what we reflect in the Word of God. You know, we go to the Word of God and we realize, like, you know, the Word of God, it says that it cuts, it penetrates, and it, like, discerns our thoughts and everything. So it's sharp. It's sometimes, like, you don't need people to tell you stuff. Like, the Word of God by itself, and, of course, the Holy Spirit speaks up to you, but sometimes, like Eric was telling me the other day, like he was reading a scripture and like he has read it many times, and then a verse jumped up to him and he was meditating on that verse and going back and again, you know, like it jumps up to you, but you know, we cannot like say, oh, this is good, or oh, this is something going on in my life that I need to change. And I'm going to ask God to change me and keep on going. No, it says we must do it. We must change. We must do the stuff. and change in order to be blessed. You know, obedience is action. It's not just like, I don't know. Obedience is action. Obedience transforms words into reality. So, well, I'm not going to go ahead of me. The other thing besides the word of God is like I was saying, and they both go together, one with the other. The word of God and listening to God's voice, which is, of course, his word, but also the Holy Spirit. Listening to God is through the Holy Spirit. And I want to stop really quick here because I feel like in the church, it has turned into an it. Like, oh yeah, you know, like a powerful, like if the Holy Spirit was a powerful force or something floating there. No, the Bible is very clear that he's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, God Father, God Son, and Holy Spirit. So he is a person. So I feel like it's being treated like as a thing, as a, something that we pray will be there or it will touch. Or no, he's a person. And being a person, being the person of that Jesus left here for us, for whatever we need, and like I said, a powerful person, he wants to speak to us. You know, Jesus left, but he left the Holy Spirit with us. And I feel like he's always, of course we don't see it like Jesus was here, but he's always there, and he's always, and I want to say again, always willing to speak to us. He's always wanting to speak to us, but the question is, are we willing to listen? Are we listening to him, or are we ignoring him? How many times a day do we ignore the Holy Spirit? No, you don't have to answer. Just think about it. And you know, all this, God has been speaking to me. And I felt like it was in my heart to share it. You know, if I tell you, oh, you can come to my house, yes, you are invited to come. And then you come to my house, and I'm like, oh, yeah, come in. Feel comfortable. And I go and I start doing laundry and then I start cleaning the house and then I go out to the store and then I come back and like, would you come back again to my house if I invited you? Or if I invite you over to my house, you come in and I like hug you and welcome you. Thank you for coming. Sit down. I want you to be comfortable. Do you want some water, tea, coffee? What can I offer you? And then I sit with you and talk, right? That way you will be welcome and invited to my house. Well, we do the same with the Holy Spirit all the time. We invite him over to our houses and tell him that he's welcome to come, and we leave him there. Like, oh, feel comfortable. Do whatever you want to do. In my life, in my house, but then I go. Or like, how have you ever got in the car with someone that is going to give you a ride and then drive on to Sierra Vista or whatever and not speak at all? No, right? Like, you talk with the person. And so how many times do we are in the car and like, yeah, Jesus or Holy Spirit, be with me, but we don't even talk to him. And he is a person. He is a person. So how long do we go on the day without speaking to him? He's a person and he wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to talk to us. But are we willing to listen? John 15:14. If you can go there with me, please. And by the way, he's the most powerful person, so it would be awesome to have it as a best friend and talk to him all day. And, you know, what better way can you be best friend of someone than spending time with that person? And, I know we are busy. I'm not talking about, like, yeah, I'm going to invite him over to my house and leave the laundry there and the house and all the stuff that I need to do. I'm not talking about that. But, you know, in a daily basis, I can invite someone over, and probably I can be folding clothes while I'm talking to the person. So I'm not talking about like dumping everything that we need to do or not going to work because, oh, I need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he's going to feel ignored and I want to be his friend. No, you know, but in our daily basis, you know, like we can pray in the morning. We can pray while we're in the shower. We can pray in the car. And we can just be talking to him at all times, even while you are at work. You know, like, don't ignore him because he will speak to you, even if you are at work or even if you're doing whatever you're doing, whatever we are doing, even whatever, you know, he will speak to us. But our ears need to be perked up and willing to listen. Because, I mean, I am the first one here to say that I have ignored him many times, and sometimes in very trivial things. Like, you know, like sometimes I think like, oh, I should take this, and then I'm like, no, I'm gonna be fine, and then I need that, and I'm like, oh, that was the Holy Spirit telling me, like, you know, like just little things like that, and I ignore it because I think like, oh no, you know, and I can think about an example exactly right now, but things like that. How much more in the important things sometimes he's speaking to us and we ignore him. So John 15:14, it says, you are my friends if you obey my commands. And this is like also kind of hard to read, like, but I was thinking, Jesus is not saying this as in like, oh, well, if you do what I tell you, then we are friends. You know, like in the world, like girls will do that. You know, like, no, if we're going to play like this or you're not going to be my friend, you know. It's not like that. It's obviously, it's not like that. He knows we are his friends. And it's because we are his friends and because we have a relationship with him that we can trust that whatever he's commanding us is for the good of the kingdom, which is also for our benefit. So I'm not saying that is that whatever he's commanding us is for our own good. It's for the good of the kingdom that benefits also us as well. And then verse 15, it says, I no longer call you slaves because we were slaves, but he bought us. And now to be his friends, it says, and a slave does whatever the master demands, but we are his friends since he told us everything that the Father told him. So that, again, is talking about a close relationship, about telling us all his secrets, all his mysteries. He wanna tell us all of that. Verse 13, it says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So he did that for us. And by the way, he did it being his enemies. But he had a faith that he was going to become friends with us. So that's why he's saying, if you obey my commands, you are my friend. I mean, we are already friends, but it's convenient for you to obey my commands. John 10:27. You know, we may hear many voices. We may hear things. But we need to learn and discern which is the voice of God. What is the Spirit saying? It says here in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we cannot be going through whatever we hear and obeying that. We need to wait it in the Word of God and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and know that he is saying what he's saying and not someone else or not our thoughts or not our good ideas, because we may have many good ideas, but we need to listen to the voice of God. So there we go. We obey. We obey the Holy Spirit and we obey the Word of God. But I want to go through what obedience is. And you're with a Sunday school teacher, so please allow me to be a Sunday school teacher. I was laughing. I don't know. I have never heard a sermon like this. But growing up, I grew up with this. And of course, in Spanish, it's different. But okay, partial obedience is disobedience. So either you obey or you didn't obey, or either you obey or you disobey. It's not partial disobedience. Like, for example, I bet Nina, when she told Sophia to pick up her room, it's like it includes the whole room, not just the section that she chose. And I remember growing up, my mom would tell us, totally, immediately, and happily. And it's método tía. And anyways, we're going to go through it. So we obey right away. You know, as soon as God tells you something, tells us something, because this is for me too. As soon as God says something, I go and I do it because it is a blessing. And Psalm 119:60, it says, if you want to write it down, I'm going to read it. It says, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. We don't need to think about it. We don't need to negotiate with God. If he's telling us, you know, he knows why he's telling us. He knows the outcome. So we don't need to think like, well, what would it happen if I do this? Or God, why are you sure that I need to? No, it's like we obey right away. We hurry without delay and we obey his commands. So we obey right away. We obey all the way. Psalm 119:4, it says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. And I thought that's a hard word for my tongue. Diligently, and I thought that it was like doing things well done. But I looked it up, and it says that it's an adverb that means in a hardworking manner. Doing something diligently means doing it thoroughly and well, persevering, and to do things with great care. So when he commands us something, we do it all the way. We don't like kind of do it so that God thinks like he's watching us. It's not like when my mom told me to clean up and I will hide stuff under the bed, you know, like so it looks good. I mean, we cannot deceive God. I couldn't deceive my mom. So even like more, we cannot deceive God. We do it all the way. And we do it in a happy way. You know? How many times God tells us something and I'm like, oh, you need to go and ask forgiveness to that person. Why? But I don't like them. Well, but I like them, I love them, and I forgave them, and I forgave you. And if you don't forgive them or ask for forgiveness, I won't forgive you. And, you know, it's like, okay, in a happy way. And it's not like you're not going to fake it. If you pray about it, God changes your heart to do it. And it's in a happy way or with a happy heart, because it is a heart issue. Obedience is about the heart. So Philippians 2:14-16, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. So this is interesting. Well, I'm going to let you look for it. I'm sorry. Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. So I wonder if we don't do it not happy, if we won't be clean, if we won't be pure. I don't know. Children of God without fault in a garped or crooked generation, which we are in. It's sad to see, but we are in a very crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the world of life. And then you will be able to boast on the day of Christ. I will be able, Paul is writing, to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. So, you know, people in the world does not do this. It's not common. So we need to shine in a crooked generation. And if we do things in a happy way, we're going to shine. People are going to notice that we are different. And the message says, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering or no second guessing allowed. Yeah, no second guessing allowed. We are ready and cheerfully we do it. So if we don't do it all the right away, all the way, and in a happy way, it's not a complete obedience. It's disobedience. And it's not because I'm saying it. It's because, I mean, if you gather like all the verses here, it's the word of God. That's how he wants us to do it. Another way that we release the blessing is by giving. And I see that these are the only two. And to give, you need to obey. Because many times God tells you need to give this. And sometimes like, hi, are you sure that's the amount? You know, or we want to negotiate with God. And something funny that I heard one time, and like it happens many times, and I'm not saying, oh, God is saying this, but I mean, I feel it's true. Sometimes you get an amount, and then you get another amount. And the amount that is the least amount is the amount that comes from the devil or your flesh, and the amount that God gave you is the bigger amount, because you are trying to think things through and negotiate with God. But it is more of a blessing to give than to receive. That's in Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I have seen it many, many times. You know, I give and immediately I receive. Immediately. I mean, God is so awesome. Luke 6:38. Well, we have all heard this scripture. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and pour into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And I want to do a parenthesis here. Something that I have learned in growing up, you know, we give an offering. This is talking about offerings. But you don't either tithe or give offerings. The tithe, that's like a pastor that I know, he says that's kindergarten. That's the foundation. You learn that from the beginning. But you don't like take from your tithe to give an offering, because then there's no blessing. So you give your tithe, and then you can give everything you want. It doesn't matter if it's $1 or $100 or $1,000. And by the way, let's remember our new carpet fund. So let's just give, and it's going to be a great return and a great blessing. Okay, so obedience leads to victory. Disobedience leads to destruction. And we saw it from the beginning when Adam disobeyed, he brought destruction to this world. But when we obey, we get the victory. We are victorious. Obedience is the ultimate act of worship. It's better to obey than to offer sacrifices. And there's three obstacles to obedience. And number one is pride. Number two is unbelief. And number three is self-centered expectations. You know, we get prideful about, why am I going to do that? Who are you to tell me that I need to do that? Our pride gets in the way instead of being humble and obeying whoever. And you know, everything that I've been saying, God, yes, we are first and foremost, we obey God. But also we need to obey all authority, in leadership. Everyone that is in leadership, we are to obey them and respect them. And that's something that, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Unbelief also. Sometimes, for example, if God tells us to give something and we don't believe that he's going to bless us, or unbelief comes, or like I need to ask for forgiveness to someone, and we have unbelief that person is gonna react in a good way. It doesn't matter. We just need to obey. And self-centered expectations. You know, like we just care about ourselves or what I want or what I need, instead of just obeying and doing whatever is needed. And yeah, when I said about respect, which I think it goes with the hand with hand with obedience. And God put this message in my heart, but the main reason, and I wanted to go fast, but not as fast that you lost me or I lost you guys. But what I want to focus is that my heart and my spirit have been like crying and not like praying to God, well, which I am, but like crying as in sad and to see where we are at. I was born in the States, but I'm Mexican. But to see such a blessed nation founded with the Bible, founded in God's principles, and such a Christian and spiritual nation going down and down and down and down, and it's all around the world, but here's where we are. And it just breaks my heart because also in the church, it's also, I see it happening also in the church. And it says in Matthew 24:10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be safe. And that is my cry and my prayer to God, because I see this happening, and it just breaks my heart, it breaks my spirit, and that's why we need to be obedient to God. You know, false prophets are gonna appear, and that's why I was saying we need to discern the voice of God. You know, there's a wave of wickedness raising, and the love of many is gonna grow cold, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. And I know I'm going to see it, but, you know, even the chosen ones are going to be deceived. And I pray, God, that I will be so close to Him and remain, and obey. That's why I feel like this is key, to obey and not think about it and not ask questions, just obey. Whatever God is telling us. And we need to be in the flow of the Holy Spirit, because if we are not, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it, and we need to be in the closest possible. You know, I see even the church, Romans 12:2, it says to not conform to this world, but be transformed. And the fact, I'm going to tell you something, the fact that you see another Christian doing or saying something, it doesn't mean that it's right. It does not mean that it's fine. We need to remain in the Word of God. Remain in the Holy Spirit. And that's why we cannot let one day go without being in His presence. One moment ignoring Him. We need to remain connected to the body of Christ. That's why I started with Hebrews 10:19. And I'm going to read it again. And if you want to go there, I'll wait. Hebrews 10:19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Man, we have a privilege. We can just come boldly. We are not in other times where you couldn't go in. We can go in. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And that's the Word of God. That's why we need to keep on the Word of God. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. And another version says, let us hold tightly to the faith You know, we are sure we have faith. We are sure that we know God and we know Christ. We need to hold tightly, like if our lives depend on it, because they do. We must hold tightly without wavering. Without wavering. You know, whatever is going there in the world, whatever everyone is doing, even Christians, we need to wait it in God's word and in the Holy Spirit and let Him lead us. Let us. And this is a very thin line. It's not about like, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, and that's why we need to be so close that we know that we know that we know that it's Him. Because pride can come in also and deceive you and think like, oh no, I'm not gonna, you know, like get like over spiritual and be legalistic. So neither and neither. Does that make sense? You know, like whatever God is saying, whatever the Holy Spirit is saying. Well, I'm going to read it again. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope or the faith we affirm to have. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. He's going to fulfill His promises. Judgment is coming and His blessing is coming to us if we remain. That was me. I wasn't reading. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We need to also remain connected with the body of Christ and encourage one another. You know, if you see something in me, I always tell my closest ones, if you for a moment see that I'm going where I'm not supposed, immediately pull me, because I do not want to be deceived. And I'm going to tell you something. When you are deceived, you are deceived. There is no human power that can convince you that you are not deceived. When you think that this is blue because you know that it's blue, there's no human power that can tell you, no, it's not blue, it's brown. That's why we need to, well, let me keep on reading. Let us not neglect our meeting together. That's why it's so important to come to church and not have your own church at home, because you can get deceived. It's so important to not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. And I believe that is near. I know people have been saying for even before I was born that the time is near, but it's getting uglier and uglier, and it's coming. So we can only learn what obedience is and experience the blessing it releases only by obeying. There's no other way to experience it. And so I want to pray. If you wanna get prayed over, if you want to come up here, if you want to be able to discern the voice of God. You know, this is not something for you to get scared, like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, or if I'm going to be confused. You know, when the Holy Spirit is very clear, He will speak. And if you want to learn to discern His voice, come up here. If you want to be obedient, come up here. If you battle with being obedient and you want help from the Holy Spirit, come up here so we can release that the Spirit inside of you, to stir up inside of you. You know, something I've been doing daily is just stop everything I'm doing. Even like if I already read my Bible, I already spend time in the Spirit, I will just stop whatever I'm doing. I will close my eyes because I get distracted if not, because I was trying. And I will just start praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And I was talking with my brother about it, and he was asking help for something. I was like, well, you know, pray in the Spirit, I told him, but pray focus. And he's like, focus? What do you mean focus? And I was like, well, sometimes I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm like, you know, and it's fine. But then like you get distracted with something and like, oh, there's a paper here, I'm going to pick it up. And you're praying and you're not connecting in your spirit. You're not. And so I've been like, And first I was like, wow, you know what? Daily, I'm gonna set a goal and I'm gonna just pray for half hour. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not gonna set a time. I'm just gonna pray in the Spirit and connect and stir inside of me the Spirit. And if I, when I feel that like release, like I'm done, I'll just stop there and keep on going. And it's been a huge blessing. It's been awesome. Just like stop everything, you know, if you feel the need, and just get filled up with the Holy Spirit. Let's just do that right now. Let's just pray in the Holy Spirit, focus. Ukashi karama ayene kama aso oko itikayene hayo sehrebe hai. Ukane hai istakayone to oro o sheketiriri hayo no osho. Ukanama ayene ma sho koto robo kone ashiti titi kayo no osoko robo hoto she. Ikanomo o shoko honiama hato koneaka et sako ro okoniama soko ro o she. Ukane ato oto o ruba hayo nume shoko toro boko robo o osekania hai. Ukanama a o soko ria to koni mayo sekanama hayo shoko nima hayo stababa hato ro boko. Ikanena hayo sekanama hayo stoko nea manaste. Turra bahaine ahato roko nea mashtoko ne meastai. You know, if you don't know how to pray in the Spirit and you want to receive new the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues, come up here because it's a great tool for you. If you don't have it and you want it, come up here. Ukoni mahai itakayo nomo sokoro otere pepe she. Ukanama aro o sokoto sheketerere ha o sokoro se. Utahai iniahato o korobo ho o se erebahai. Father, we just want to be sensitive to your voice, sensible to your voice, to be able to listen to you. We want to shut all the voices that are speaking, and we just want to hear your voice, Jesus. Your voice, Holy Spirit, leading us through the way. Your voice, Holy Spirit, is speaking to us and through us. Father, I pray that we may stand firm till the end. That we will be hunger for you. That we will be hungry for you, that you will put hunger in our hearts and in our spirits to seek your word, to seek your presence, to go boldly into the most holiest, to go into your presence and get filled with everything that you are, and that you give us the power and the ability to obey completely. Right away, all the way, and in a happy way, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence leading us.